This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Brian Westbury, former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. He is now chief economist for First Trust Advisors in Lisle, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. And today we want to get his thoughts on the latest jobs report, something the Joint Committee of Congress deals with routinely. We also want to get his thoughts on all the held breath here in Washington, waiting for the Congressional Budget Office to score the marked up version of the Max Baucus health plan. And Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's great to be with you.
Well, as I mentioned, you served as a chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress, which deals month by month and really day to day, of course, with the employment numbers in this country.
Right.
On Friday, in a story that was kind of overshadowed by the Olympic decision involving your hometown of Chicago as well, we saw unemployment tick up to 9.8% and 263,000 more jobs lost in the month of September, which was actually a little bit more than expectations. What's your sense overall on the health of our economy?
Sure. You know, Greg, I mean, I'm gonna actually put a reasonably good, I hate to use this word, spin, but I guess that's what you might call it, on this jobs report. Not that it's, and I want to be careful, not that it's good to lose jobs. It's never good, especially when you're talking about 200,000 or 300,000 jobs. But back in January and February, we were losing 700,000 jobs a month. And if you look at the trend, it's been consistently better month after month. Now, every once in a while, just like if you have the flu, you know, if you have the flu and after 3 or 4 days you feel a little bit better one day and you push yourself, you go to work or you do something, and the next day you pay a price for that, you kind of almost have a setback. That's kind of the way the job market has been. We had a setback back between May and June when the jobs numbers got worse. Then they started to get better. Now we had a little bit of a setback. But the trend is clearly in the right direction. So I still believe that by the end of this year, early 2010, we will be printing positive numbers. We will be creating jobs because the rest of the economy, retail sales, manufacturing, even housing, is all getting better. And it just takes a little bit of time, but that will translate into more jobs.
And if that's the case, what's responsible for it?
Well, really, there's a couple of things. But number one, I would argue, is that the Federal Reserve is being easy or accommodative in its monetary policy, not just holding interest rates down at zero, but actually printing new money and putting it into the economy. The way I always learned about this is, imagine there's a Sam the counterfeiter. He lives in a little town and he's got perfect $100 plates, and he starts printing off a bunch of money, $100 bills. He gives a bunch to his mother, his girlfriend. He goes to the bar with his money, and the town booms, right? I mean, they're buying furniture and dresses, and he's buying drinks for the whole town, and the town's booming. But then the FBI comes in and swoops in, takes away all the money and the plates, and then the town goes bust. Well, that's the way the Fed works. When they print all this money, it gets into the economy, and it causes the economy to grow. Now, you could argue that it's not all real growth. Some of it is, but the bottom line is that that's what's boosting the economy right now. The Fed is very, very easy, and that's really what's caused us to turn the corner. In addition, we had a panic last year. That panic is now over. People are big, I mean, they don't feel great. It's not all perfect, but we're not panicking anymore. And then finally, we changed mark-to-market accounting rules, which I think is what ended the financial crisis, because we were accounting rules were driving the economy into the ground, and that's now over. So those are the three reasons that things have turned around, and I think that's going to continue all the way through 2010.
Brian, to go back to your analogy of the counterfeiter and what the Fed's doing, does that suggest that at some point the floor is going to fall out from beneath what appears to be at the beginning of a recovery?
Yeah, it could. You know, in the end, when the Fed stops stimulating the economy, what then has to take over to keep the economy growing is productivity and technology and entrepreneurship and all those things that cause us to increase our living standards over time. So, and what can interfere with that is higher taxes and government spending and regulation. So you can paint a very negative scenario for late in 2011, 2012, when the Fed raises rates, when tax rates go up, they're scheduled to go up in 2011 right now, when government spending really starts to grow, especially if we pass a health care bill, those kinds of things could really hurt us. But I would argue that that's going to hurt us out there in 2011 and 2012. And so right now, for the next 12 to 18 months, I think we've got a lot of running room, so to speak. I haven't told you this, Greg, but I've just written a book. It'll be out within the next month. It's called It's Not As Bad As You Think. It's going to be published by Wiley. And basically, I lay this out, how at least for the next 12 to 18 months, we're going to boom, and then we could potentially pay a price. We don't know yet, but those are the things to look out for, big rate hikes, interest rate hikes, big tax hikes, things like that.
Brian, one quick question before we get to the CBO, and that's the ongoing claim from the Obama administration that their stimulus package, or the Economic Recovery Act, as they call it, has created or saved at least 1 million jobs, and sometimes the estimate's a little bit higher than that. How much accuracy is in that?
Yeah, I just don't believe that. Government, you know, in fact, in July, we raised the minimum wage, and teenage unemployment is well over 25% right now. We have actually cost ourselves jobs by government action. The bigger the government gets, the smaller the private sector is, and the less jobs we create. You can prove it by looking at countries across the world. You can prove it by looking at U.S. history, the bigger government spending, like back in the 70s. Government was spending like crazy, and yet joblessness was rising all during the 1970s. That was the era of stagflation. So I don't believe that. The way you create jobs is to stimulate the private sector, not use government spending.
We're talking with Brian Westbury, former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress, now chief economist for First Trust Advisors in the Chicago area. And Brian, the Congressional Budget Office has never gotten as much ink, I think, as they're getting these days with all their evaluations of the various spending bills and other reform packages on Capitol Hill, whether it's energy, and obviously health care is the one that's getting the most attention. In fact, it was a couple of scorings by the CBO that really derailed momentum, it seemed like, for the president's health care plan in the midsummer when it showed that they would run some significant deficits. Now, of course, today everyone's waiting with bated breath to see if the Baucus bill, after all the amendments that were added or rejected, changed whether or not this thing is deficit neutral. Take us inside the CBO. How exactly does it work, and how much of a gold standard should their evaluations be?
Sure. You know, it's always been believed or said, maybe believed is too strong of a word, said that the CBO is nonpartisan. And in many ways, they've thrown wrenches throughout the years, whether Republicans get to pick the head of the CBO or Democrats. Remember, the head of the CBO right now was picked by the Democrats. And yet over time, it's almost like, people are always mad at the CBO because they don't score or talk about the cost of bills the way politicians would like them to. And one of the biggest problems with the health care bill is found in the cost of this service. Whenever you're going to take, the number always changes, but 35 to 45 million people who don't have health insurance, I know that many of them are illegals and all kinds of things, but let's just use that raw number, and then you try to bring them into the system, that's going to cost money. And politicians want to say, oh, we can do that for nothing, or we can save a bunch of money by cutting expenditures or making more efficient the current Medicare system. And maybe the CBO doesn't agree. You can't make it that much more efficient. And how are you going to plan on saving money without cutting back on expenditures directly for seniors? And that's where all of these debates are coming in. It's how you look at this. Politicians will always say that they can spend that it won't cost anything, and that they can save billions and billions of dollars. The CBO has traditionally, and they've done a good job over this past year, been a real good kind of blocking point for that, saying, no, that's just not true. Stop the hype, the demagoguery. I don't know how this score is going to come out, but one thing I do know for sure, if we could have saved $400 or $500 billion on Medicare, if we can save it, that's what the politicians are saying, then why haven't we done it? I just don't believe that there's that kind of savings there without cutting back significantly on coverage for seniors in the years ahead. I just don't buy it. I think Americans don't buy it either. I think that's why the support for this bill has fallen so much. And we're going to see how they score that out of the CBO. I guess we'll find out today or maybe at the latest tomorrow.
Brian, one last question on the process. Most economists have some sort of fundamental philosophy on what works and what doesn't in the economy. So in terms of the CBO often being a thorn in the side of the very administration that appoints the director and so forth, is it just a matter of busting out the calculator and working the numbers, or is there some overall interpretation of what's going on here so that their own personal economic philosophy plays into it somehow?
Yeah, this is good. You know, there's definitely every economist will look at issues differently. The CBO does have a panel of outside economists that oversee its work. I mean, sometimes with the certain CBOs, though, that panel isn't very powerful. Other times it is. But they're always there as a check. And they try to use the latest kind of academic research and models in economics to judge the cost of these things. They try to do that. I would argue, though, that the traditional or conventional wisdom coming out of academia is very Keynesian. It tends to support more government rather than less. So it's been amazing to me. What that tells me is that with the CBO lately being a thorn in the side, as you so put it so well, of those who want to put a health care bill into place, and they're using models that would favor government in the first place, what that tells me is this thing is going to cost way more than anybody thinks. And if you go back to the mid-60s when we first put Medicare and Medicaid in, Medicare and Medicaid, the long-term forecast, we have blown them away. The costs are 100 times greater than they were originally estimated. And that happens with every kind of government program like this. So if CBO says this is going to cost more than Congress does, it's going to end up even costing more than the CBO says. So that's just a sign to me of how expensive this health care bill really is.
Brian, we'll see if the final score from the CBO is an accelerant or a hindrance to what's going on the Hill right now. As always, sir, thank you so much for your time and your insight.
Thank you, Greg.
Brian Westbury is a former chief economist for the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. He's now chief economist for First Trust Advisors in Lyle, Illinois, and he's the author of the forthcoming book, Not As Bad As You Think. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.